folks, it is time to strap yourselves in and grab yourselves a nice cool beverage in this warm weather we're having. It is time now for episode 8. We've got number 8 under our belt now of the General Knowledge Podcast by yours truly from Real News Australia and, of course, Ethan Nash of TOTT News. And I am, of course, joined here. Andy is back from his world travels. He's been over to PNG. We've got him back in the country and online for another discussion tonight. Andy, how you going, mate?
I'm going very good, thanks, General. Yeah, back from the land of the unknown.
Yes, and good to have you stateside.
Back into the land of absolute corruption, Australia. I'm referring to.
I was going to say from one to the other. Yeah,
just a level change, man.
Yeah, and Ethan, how you going, mate? Good to have you back on as well. Happy New Year to you both.
Yeah, Happy New Year, boys. Happy New Year to all of our listeners out there. It's great to be back. Absolutely. Went too quickly, the holidays. Back into it again, fellas.
Wait. Absolutely. There was holidays?
What is this concept?
No one told me. Shit. Yeah. That was good. I had a good Christmas and a good New Year's. What about yourselves, boys?
Very good. Thanks, General. Yeah, excellent.
Were you overseas for Christmas and New Year's, or were you in the country?
No. I was back for that.
You were back. Okay, cool. I couldn't remember when you got back, that's all.
Back in Oz, yeah.
Ethan, you just had a quiet one, did you, mate?
Yeah, mate, just had a quiet one. I like that time of year. I like how everyone, you know, it's sort of symbolic, you know, how everyone stops from the mad rat race and, you know, they go through this sort of materialistic ritual. It's an interesting time of the year, but I love, you know, those fundamental concepts of family, you know, and all of that sort of stuff. It comes with Christmas, so just had a quiet one with my family, just planning for the new year, looking forward to getting some more content out in 2019, and here we are on the first podcast, boys.
Inaugural 2019 podcast, and we're up to episode 8, which is fantastic, and we're doing well. Actually, I had a look at the stats, boys? We've got, they've updated the way the stats run on this Podbean account, but anyway, so we're over 900 now for our all-time listens and downloads, I should say. So
nice.
Still wow. Well, yeah. And country-wise, we've got, this would be interesting. So out of that 940, nearly pretty much 500 of those is from here, Australia. We got about nearly 30 from India, about 20 odd from Japan. Great Britain's got about 40. America's about 50. Wow. Yeah, so we're coming in from around the place, which is cool. Not just all about us. Yeah.
Hello out there.
We'll have to double the price of our subscription, mate.
Damn, I forgot to add that on there. Shit. all in good time, everyone. No, it's good to have some people from around the world,
not
just
advice, Mr.
Australia.
Burns.
Yeah. Excellent. Mate, well, let's kick it off. I know we pre-show and during our messages and stuff, we were talking about what's going on down there in St. Kilda. Now, we've got... I've been sort of having a look at it here and there, but I've been trying not to pay too much attention to it because, in my honest opinion, to me, it feels like they're... Whenever they start doing this, it's like, hey, come and look over here, you know, we want you to have a look at this. Look what's going on, race this and fighting here and fucking Nazi that, you know. And to me, it's like, it gets the blood boiling on a lot of people. And that makes me start to wonder, wait a minute, what's really going on? What are we not supposed to be looking at? So that's what I'm sort of interested in particular. But I do know that there that issue itself down there in St. Kilda, I don't think it's been orchestrated. I do think that it is a fairly organic sort of situation that has cropped up, because we know that in Melbourne there's been a lot of this stuff happening with African youth gangs and things over the last couple of years. And I do believe even Adam's talked about this on the Kras Files podcast as well, because he's had people on talking about it. You know, it is a thing down there. This is happening. It's not everywhere, but it's fairly rampant in some parts of Melbourne down there, which is definitely concerning. And now it seems to be spreading to these, you know, it's happening on the beach, and now we've got these, you know, all the white boys are all going, oh, wait a minute, you know, we'll will counteract this, and you know, I don't know. I don't really know what's going on, Andy. What do you make of it? What's your take on this? Just so I can sort of feel it out a bit more.
Look, I think the rally, like conducted by Blair Cottrell and co, was, I think it was a genuine thing. You know, like I think these guys are genuinely and I think rightly concerned about the kinds of immigration that we're bringing into this country. You know, like I don't see any of them as like as the media depicts as racists or like Nazis or anything like that. I think the 99% of the people there were there as proud Australians. You know, like, and then what really really got my guts was the way that the media absolutely trashed the whole thing and put this extreme left wing spin on the whole thing.
Yeah, that was definite. Yeah, that was definitely apparent.
Yeah, it was, and there was one guy. The media really focused their whole thing. There was one guy walking around with dark sunglasses on, with a you know, with a Nazi salute, with his finger underneath his nose, and in the actual podcasts and all of the media that I saw, like real media, online media, from independent sources, I could not see that guy at all. So I really, and this is one guy that was like acting like a goose amongst probably maybe a couple of thousand people that were there.
Mm.
So, and then the media is portraying this as some sort of a Nazi event. It's just complete and utter nonsense. The whole thing was.
Well, it's funny you should say that, mate, because you probably listened to our last episode when we talked about the yellow vest stuff. And Ethan, you remember when I said to you how whenever there's going to be these protests and these movements, there's always going to be those dickheads in the crowd that, you know, throw the Molotov cocktail through the window and overturn a car, you know, like, and that's what the media will focus on. Well, there you have it, you know. We've just proven the exact same point. You know, there's one dickhead in the crowd who's, held up the doing something Nazi-ish or whatever, being a goose, and then that's what they focus on, you know what I mean? Like, forget about the message and what they're actually there for, trying to stand up for or whatnot. Let's focus on that shit, you know what I mean? So, oh, it's exactly the same thing, isn't it? Just on a smaller scale, I guess. What do you reckon, Ethan?
Yeah, I think.
Sorry, Eddie.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think even the footage was from some other event at some other time as well. Oh, if you look carefully at the background, okay. It's like,
so a bit of dirty play happening there on behalf of the mainstream media, I reckon.
Definitely. Oh yeah, well, what a shock. But it just everything looked different. The actual lighting from the day looked brighter from the other footage that I'd seen. It looked like a complete implant, like footage from some other time. So
right, a bit of wag the dog stuff happening there, eh? Okay,
absolutely.
Yeah, right. What about you, Ethan? What's your take on this stuff that's happening down there?
Yeah, boys. Well, it's very interesting to see this. I've obviously been following a lot of these characters online for a number of years now. I first discovered Blair when he was first charged under those bogus inciting terrorists or inciting Muslim laws, those hate speech laws that were introduced here in Australia. And I've followed the work of Fraser Anning for a long time. So I can see, you know, with Neil Erickson and all this, that it seems like it was a genuine event, a grassroots event that has come. And this event and the greater discussion of African gangs or immigrant gang violence in Australia, you know, it's certainly an interesting one, you know, and my stance ultimately is that it's very similar to terrorism in this country, what I've explained in the past about terrorism, you know, about media manufactured events and all of this type of stuff. But what interests me, fellas, was obviously this media coverage of it, you know. So there's a lot of aspects of it, you know. You've got the rally itself, so who they are, what they are, you know, why they're there, who organized it, all this type of stuff. But then you've got the media coverage of the event. You know, this absolute trashing of Fraser Anning, all of the hit pieces that have been put out. And it's very easy to put the connections together once you just saw how, you know, just obvious the media manipulation is. That is, you know, in manipulating, not even manipulating, creating the public opinion to be manipulated through the telescreens, you know. And I've read a bit about this, you know, for a number of years, you know, on TOTTnews.com. And when I first saw this, you know, I was obviously, you know me, I obviously have problems with multiculturalism, you know, here in society and what it's done to Australia, you know, such as population growth, the destruction of morals and values and culture, you know, and ultimately what some of the organisers were talking about, which is the ethnic replacement of the white race that we're seeing happening. But then when you tie in all of this African gang violence, this media-created fear hype, because, you know, when all I've seen of these African gangs has been on Channel 9, Channel 7, all of these type of channels. So at the start, I was like, you know, your intentions are great. I align with a lot of the things that you're saying, but I think it's the wrong platform to try and boost this off. You know, the media are going to use this to attack you. But then when I saw just how blatant the media were with their attack, it really got me interested, you know, because when do the media ever cover events like this, boys? You know, it almost seems like, you know, picture this type of concept. It almost seems like, you know, how do I put this? You know, it creates this sort of atmosphere where all of these nationalists have been drawn in, almost baited in, to be discredited by the media off of an event that they've created for themselves, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, like, okay, let me ask you, General, when you think of this African gang problem, you know, where are the type of outlets that you've seen it from? You know, because for me, most of the attacks and reports that I've seen have come directly from A Current Affair, Channel 9, Channel 7, all of these types of things. So I'm interested to see where you've got some of your footage from this, because it's very interesting how they've used this to incite emotion, this problem reaction solution sort of scenario.
Yeah. First of all, it always does come down to that. There's definitely a problem reaction solution thing happening for sure. Originally, I only heard about this, and it wasn't through mainstream sources. It was through social media pages, you know, on Facebook and so forth. People were, you know, posting comments, posting little video clips of what they've seen, you know, writing messages saying, just had an African gang try and rape my, you know, sister or whatnot. And I'm in whatever, you know, suburb of Melbourne, and I'm going, wow, there's really stuff happening down there. And why am I not seeing this on the news? And then I started hearing, I'm pretty sure it was Adam's podcast. He had spoken to someone about this from Melbourne, and it was a while ago now. Geez, it would have been definitely in 2018, if not 2017, when he was talking about this. And that's when I sort of started to realize, wow, it really is a problem down there. There's some serious shit going down. I'm thinking, why is the mainstream media not covering this? They're trying to whitewash this. And then I start hearing stories about how the police aren't acting upon the crimes that are being committed down there, you know, like by these African gangs that are traveling around in the evenings, and people don't want to go out in the cities at night anymore. Businesses are struggling and they're posting these things on social media. I'm going, wow, this is a real issue. And then again, it was the media didn't want to touch it. They weren't putting any stuff on the news about, yeah, you know, these things happening down there, until probably within the last 3 months you started seeing a few more things on the news about it, and all of a sudden it's a thing now and everyone knows about it. Mm-hmm. And now they're really pushing it, going, hey, look at this, yeah, there's all these youths out there and these gangs and stuff. And then you got, you know, for those who are listening overseas, welcome. Fraser Anning is an Australian senator. He's a politician for in Queensland, so that's who he is, if we've mentioned him a couple of times so far. You got these blokes now, you know, appearing at these rallies down there in around St Kilda, which is a suburb of Melbourne, or near Melbourne. And, you know, it's a thing. It's being highlighted on the news, and there's this them versus us type thing that they're driving the wedge in even further now. And look, I kind of agree with you, and Andy, I'm guessing you're probably in the same thinking as us, is that, you know, look, multiculturalism, although, like most things, on paper it seems like a good idea, but then when they put it in action, it just doesn't work. And I don't think it's actually supposed to work. I don't think it can work, because, you know, you're going to get some people, ethnic blending, that it's going to happen. People will, you know, intermix and so forth, which is fine. If you know, love who you want to love, there's no problem there. But you're going to get enclaves of certain cultures and ethnics and people from, even people, white people from different countries tend to move into the same suburbs. You know what I mean? Like, I've got a whole bunch of South African clients, and a lot of them are in either Fig Tree Pocket or Chapel Hill. You know, they're all around that area, and they all know that their family lives close by in the same suburb. You know, and this isn't just them. This is a lot of other people too. Yeah, so it's just sort of human nature that everyone goes towards their own. You want to be with your own people, you know what I mean? You come from a foreign land, you don't want to just all of a sudden get thrown in the deep end with people in a country you're not really familiar with, your language you don't really speak very well, the customs you're not quite used to. So they go back and they find groups of people in Australia so they can feel more comfortable with while they're sort of blending through, you know what I mean? So to say that it works really well and, oh, they're all Australians now and stuff, nah, look, again, it's good on paper. It doesn't quite work in real life, though. Andy, what do you reckon, man?
Yeah, look, I think, exactly what you said. Look, immigration is one thing, but when you take, a culture that is so different to Australian culture, like radically, radically different, I mean, that's where you're going to be. When a culture can't speak the language and isn't interested in doing it, when the base religions are completely opposite, when there's been no tax systems in the immigrants' country, where they haven't worked, where they haven't done anything that is similar to our culture or understanding, it's very, very difficult for those people to assimilate into Australian life. And look, it's not their fault at all. It's just the way that it is. So yeah, if you want to bring those people in, it's going to take a few generations for it to work. Until good then, point. It's yeah, probably going to be mayhem. Like a culture that has always worked successfully is always, an English-speaking country, something with a similar sort of financial type systems, tax systems, rules of law, and all of that. So people have a basic understanding when they come here what to do, you know. Mm. When you take a war-torn country or a country with no rule of law or no government that's really like
open
legitimate
corruption.
And then you plonk them straight into a capital city like Melbourne, it's extremely difficult for those people to ever assimilate. And of course, the easiest thing is just to turn to crime. So this is the reality of it, and it's not racist, it's just a fact. And it's just, you know, like, it's so sad that, you know, the word racist has to come up all the time. It's got nothing to do with that.
I wish these people would come here and take on board our customs and do the right thing and all that sort of stuff, and it would be fine. But yeah, you're right, like, they're not used to it. It's a different world they've come to, and a different world they've come from, you know. So it's very hard to make it work. And you're right about that generation thing. It does take a couple of generations before it, you know, before it comes good. And I think that's evident with a lot of people. You know, I went to school with a lot of kids who are, you know, they're not white skinned, but they've, you know, their mums and dads were born here, you know, they were born here, and it was their grandparents that came over, and, you know, they're the third generation, so they're as Aussie as me, you know what I mean? Like, it's they need time, you know. So when you just start throwing them all in such a high amount of them, What do they expect is going to happen? So that raises another point. We probably don't have to go into this too much, but it's to me, it then seems like the whole, it's orchestrated.
It's too much too fast.
It is too much too fast, but that's intentional. It has to be intentional.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? So they want this to happen.
Now we're drilling down now into the guts, the meat and potatoes of what's going on here.
Yeah.
You know, what is the mad panic for flooding this country with immigrants, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Even immigrants that are not of our, that don't assimilate well, why can't we just bring in a very, very small number of those people, you know, like something that we can contain rather than thousands and thousands and thousands, you know? And then the pressure on social security systems and everything.
Yeah.
Like why? You know, that's the real that's the real question.
Yeah.
Yes, and fellas, now think of all of those topics that you've and all of those concepts that you've said, and then think of the situation where the failed multiculturalism experiment is beginning to reach a breaking point, which it is here in Australia. Frustrations with this concept are now at an all-time high. So we've got congestions, jobs, you know, economy, values, all those things I mentioned. Now, what has happened, in my opinion, is they've now created fake news stories about certain, you know, certain situations, certain, you know, isolated situations. You know, when you look at the statistics, it's really a regulated crime rate that's happening here. There's no real threat at the moment. And these people, you know, these news outlets, think of the concept. They've created these stories to garner a reaction, knowing how fed up people are. And what has happened? They've manipulated the emotions of Australians based on fear, which is something, you know, we've covered on our sites before. And then they've created the backlash against those who have tried to stand up for it at this rally. So they're cutting it off early before this starts to get bad. You know what I mean? That's what I feel is the underlying concept here, you know, because when I did my research into it, you know, there's 100 to 1, you know, more whites doing crimes in this country, worse stuff, badder stuff, you know what I mean? The statistics and everything like that. You know, we've got this multicultural, and I completely agree with everything, you know, that we were just saying. You know, I'm not a fan of multiculturalism, but in terms of the actual danger that it poses, I think that is part beefed up, you know what I mean? Like, the underlying issues here are that Australian men are crying out for the government and police to do something about this when we're not a strong culture anymore to just prevent this on our own. You know what I mean? No one's looking at these sort of underlying issues. And so it seems like the cops have just allowed this regulated crime wave to go on for the media to pick it up, for them to gain a reaction from the people that do care about the real issues that are going on and what it will lead to, this hellhole that we were talking about once we just get flooded and we become the minority in this country. But at the moment, it seems like they've just created this reaction to get people out. Who knows? They might have planted the Nazi guy, whatever it is, and now they've built up this media storm. So for any future nationalist movements or any race, you know, anti-immigrant movements and whatnot, that will be the poster of it. Does that sort of make sense in your eyes, General?
Yeah, no.
Like that's sort of what I'm thinking about here at the moment. You know what I mean? Like, I try to play devil's advocate, try to look at the balanced side of things. And I do think that people do have a valid point when they do say that the African crime rate, you know, statistically is not really that big of a problem compared to a lot of other crime rates here in Australia. You know, people cherry pick statistics to prove their points. But when you look at the bigger picture, it's, you know, and I personally have not seen this type of stuff. You know, I see white blokes holding up the servos with guns around my house, but I haven't seen, you know, any African gangs around here. So I start to think about this type of stuff. And yes, we will end up in a place where it's like that, where the African gangs will be, you know, because they will be the majority here. We will be the minority. It won't be an African gang problem. It'll be white people in Africa problem. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there too, just to play some, you know, some devil's advocate in that. You know, yeah. I feel like this has sort of been a set up event, playing on real emotions, you know, and real fears about where this will really lead to. But this seems like it's just been, just like the terrorist events, this manufactured event to fit this agenda that we're seeing, you know, ending gone, you know, all this type of stuff, you know, just crucified. So those are my thoughts, boys. Yeah, I'll throw it back to you, General. Yeah. I just wanted to throw those thoughts in about it.
I like what you said, because it fits in perfectly with an article I did nearly 5.5 years ago that went viral, called The Hegelian Dialectic and Its Use in Controlling Modern Society, Problem, Reaction, Solution. And that's everything you just mentioned is exactly what I talked about in this piece, although written for a different situation. It's pretty much exactly the same. And it's talking there. In the last one of the last paragraphs of that piece, I say, in order to avoid falling victim to the Hegelian dialectic from now on, you must remember the process involved. Anytime a major problem or issue arises in society, think about who will gain or profit from it. Then remove yourself from the equation, take a step back and look at it from a third-party perspective. See the so-called problem, look who is reacting, why and in what way, then look who is offering up the solution. When you do this from now on, you'll quickly see the real truth instead of the false truth they wanted you to see. So, yeah, that's had over nearly 8,000 shares on Facebook and reblogged a whole bunch of times. And, that was even published by InfoWars back in the day.
Yeah, love that one. Love that one, General.
Yeah, so I'll put that in the notes for this podcast when we publish it so people can go back and have a look. And I think it's, you're right. We just need to take a step back, have a look at what's really going on here and track it back, like look at all the parties involved, what do they stand to gain and who's involved, et cetera, et cetera. So we might need to move on from that one now. It's a very deep topic.
Very interesting.
I know now, nothing to segue into this one, but what I am going to bring up that... there's two latest pieces I did, and these, for the folks out there, we've got an awesome show coming up next week. We're going to have an expectant father and Alon Olan, the anti-vax activist, as guests on the podcast, so stay tuned for that one. It's going to be an awesome show, that one. And these two articles are going to tie in quite well with that one, so I'm not going to go through them all, but I will just encourage folks to read them prior to us doing that particular podcast. The first one, which I published on December 20, so not too long ago now. Infanrix Hexa, 65 toxins found, all risk, no benefit. That's the title, and it was originally published by the wonderful Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, whom I'm pretty sure actually Adam from the Kras Files, once again, also had her as a guest on his show, and she was fantastic on that episode as well. I've listened to it a couple of times now. Dr. Sherry's basically gone on to talk about how this anti-vax group in Italy called Corvelva, they've managed to get themselves a grant from the Italian government, whom now is very much, pretty much, almost an anti-vax government over there. They've removed the mandatory vaccination schedule, from what I've heard, and they were given the grant to Corvelva to carry out testing on a whole bunch of vaccines, and one of the ones that they published their results for was called Infanrix Hexa, which is a GlaxoSmithKline vaccine, which is a 6-in-1 vaccine. You guys can read the article to check that one out. But basically, they were able to do an independent study, which everyone's been asking and begging for people to be able to do, and finally some of them are starting to do. This particular vaccine isn't used in America yet, however they're trying to push it onto their schedule. It is used here in Australia and it is used in Europe. It is on our schedule, this particular one's, from what I've seen. If I'm wrong, let me know, but that's from what I've seen, it is used here in Australia. Now it says that there were traces of 65 chemical cross-contaminants from other manufacturing lines, chemical toxins, unrecognizable macromolecules, various free bacterial peptides that are potential allergens and are capable of inducing autoimmune reactions. Some of the other things that were found in this, it's a 6-in-1 vaccine. There were also, so there were no antigens. So the reason why people get a vaccine is to have, they contain antigens, so your body then creates an immune response and develops antibodies to those antigens to fight them, so then it knows how to fight the disease in future. That's the whole premise of a vaccine. Now this particular 6-in-1 vaccine, have they discovered, contained no antigens to any of the things it was supposed to protect children from: tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis toxoids, inactivated poliomyelitis, bless you, hepatitis B, poliomyelitis strains 1, 2, and 3, hepatitis B surface antigen, and it found none of those antigens in the vaccine. So it only found toxins. So that's an amazing, mind-blowing thing. that was revealed, and the second one, so people can go on and read all of that one, but the second one was called Bombshell, Corvelva releases next vaccine analysis results. So I've gone on to talk about this next one that was which was released regarding the Priorix Tetra vaccine, which is on the Australian immunization schedule. So I've linked to that one, so I was able to actually find it on our schedule, and I've included a link in, because I actually wrote this particular article, so I've included the link to it on there so people can actually see. And this one's for measles, mumps, rubella, varicella. Yep, they're the ones that this one covers. Yeah, this one was also pretty mind-blowing. So this one, here we go. I'll just read the, this is the excerpt from their report. So the experts wrote, "We have continued the investigation, both chemical and biological, on the Priorix Tetra quadrivalent against measles, mumps, rubella, and varicella." So varicella is chickenpox. "And we have also found within the GlaxoSmithKline Priorix Tetra vaccine, proteobacteria," I'm going to fuck some of these words up, "platyhelminthes and nematoda worms," so they found worms in these things, 10 other viruses, microviridae, which are bacterial or phage viruses, numerous retroviruses, including endogenous human and avian retroviruses, avian viruses, human immunodeficiency and immunodeficiency virus of monkeys." Now, is everyone familiar what human immunodeficiency viruses are, boys? That's HIV. And virus fragments that, if inserted into the database, detected fragments of HIV and SOV, murine virus, horse infectious anemia virus, lymphoproliferative disease virus, Ruth's sarcoma virus, other viruses like alpha endornovirus and hepatitis B virus, yeast virus. So they can this thing is supposed to protect kids from measles, mumps, rubella, and chickenpox, as containing, has been found traces of all of these things in this particular one from GlaxoSmithKline. So massive bombshell evidence that's coming out from this independent study, and they've got more on the way too, so we can't wait for those to come out as well. Boys, what do you reckon of these? Andy, I'll go with you first, man. What do you reckon?
Look, does it not surprise anybody that you've got a massive corporation that is absolutely profit-driven, that has completely bought our Australian government with no checks, balances or anything, that they're just running out of control, doing whatever the F they like?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all.
You know, it's just more of the same, general. It's absolutely disgraceful. And, you know,
so my question is, why isn't the Australian government calling for these independent studies, mate? You know what I mean?
Because they've been completely bought out.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's just out of control now. Yeah. Like, the oil companies and the pharmaceutical companies basically run, like, the whole show now. So, and if you go up against that, then God help you. That's it. You know, like, most important thing is profit before anything, especially human life. Yeah. Sorry to be so negative on it, but, like, that's the hard truth.
It is. It's all about the shareholders.
So, you know, Yeah. And these companies aren't even in Australia anyway. All of these products are imported. So, like, you know, it's just, I don't know what to say, man. Like, people just need to be aware on, like, where our society is, like, what path we've trundled down, and, you know, be aware of the glitz and the glamour of marketing with these products, and all of it is just designed to sell stuff. None of it actually, like, is really meant to do the job it's supposed to. And there's so many shortcuts in manufacturing, and, you know, like, if they can build it cheaper, if they can make it cheaper, if they can do 6-in-1, make it 10-in-1, gosh, you know, like, why stop at 6? Like, let's go for it, you know, like, if they can do that and market it well and stuff, it's profit, it's bottom line. That's what they're actually trying to do, Andy.
I think I saw an article a couple months ago that they're now trying an 8-in-1 vaccine that Perth researchers are actually pioneering over in Western Australia for the global pharmaceutical racket, which is one of the big six on the stock market. It's that profitable. But yeah, it's, as you said, Andy, the more, if people will believe that injecting yourself with an artificial version of a flu, you know, to make yourself protected from the flu is a logical concept. Or if people will believe that injecting yourself with these type of chemicals is safe or is anyway logical, you know, why not just keep increasing it? Why not just keep going and see how far you can take it? Well, as General has said, you know, we've got 6-in-1 vaccines in this country. You know, with all of these types of things in it, I would imagine, you know, they wouldn't call for tests on it because all of the regulatory bodies and all of this testing in Australia is all a big hoax. It's all a big sham. You know, they don't even legally recognize vaccine damage, you know, or vaccine, you know, death caused by vaccine. You have to put it into an adverse reactions report. It's absolutely ridiculous. You know, these claims of safety of vaccines are just being underpinned by non-objective science provided by pretty much an oligarchy of pharmaceutical companies, and it's being promoted through industry-funded institutions, lobby groups, governments that have been bought and paid out. You know, I did an article on TOTTnews.com, The Ultimate Guide to the Dangers of Vaccines in Australia. You know, and in that piece, I talk about how Lucy Turnbull and Rupert Murdoch are highly invested in, you know, vaccines here in Australia. Now, Miss Turnbull, you know, Malcolm Turnbull, former PM, for those international listeners overseas, our former Prime Minister's wife, who was the Lord Mayor of one of our capital cities, Sydney, you know, she was the chairwoman of cervical cancer vaccine developer Primer Biomed. You know, so
that's right.
You're absolutely right. It's there's just this big spider web that is just completely entangled. It's completely got out of control, as Andy said, and it's got to the point where, you know, if they do release these studies, as you've said, General, you know, you start to see that it's just got beyond the point of any justification anymore. It's just a pure agenda because they've developed it to that type of level, General. You know.
I mean,
it's unbelievable.
I mean, we've got, you know, Jill Hennessy, the Victorian Health Minister, you know, previously going up saying that, you know, putting out pamphlets and misinformation saying that a child's immune system could handle 100,000 vaccines at once.
That's not
a lie. That is a pamphlet that was put out by the Victorian government, and she was up there promoting it as well, saying it, you know, so.
To see her do it.
Yeah, 22nd November 2016, I published that one. Jill Hennessy, Victoria Health, spread disinfo. Right. So, yeah, go back and cover that and read that one, folks. Yeah, it's unbelievable the amount of shit that these people put out and they try and get people to believe. And, you know, like, we should be calling. I mean, I know there are groups, and a loner might be one of them, calling for some independent testing of vaccines, but. Yeah, you're right, boys. The Australian government will not do it because they have vested interests with this particular industry. So if it came out that, just like Corvelva has discovered, that all these things are inside the vaccines we're giving to our kids, all hell would break loose, and there would be a moratorium on them instantly, you know, because that's what people should be calling for until they've been proven to be safe and that this stuff doesn't exist in them. But, you know, obviously that's not the case. Best case scenario is don't do it.
Yeah, politicians want to be popular, right? This is their whole existence. And, you know, as soon as a politician in this country says something about vaccines or something even slightly negative, then the media will kick in, all of the instruments will kick in and absolutely destroy that man or woman's career. Instantly.
Yep, you're right. It's a suicide. It's a death.
And they know it too.
Yep. Until it swings the other way. Until that pendulum swings the other way, it's going to be that. And you're right. It's a popularity contest. You know, there's a saying in America: What does every first term president want? A second term. You know, so they just want to win their popularity contest and stay there even longer. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing, boys. You know. You've got all of this, you know, just this oligarchy of pharmaceutical companies that are just running the show here, and it's just unbelievable the level that it's got to. Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, well, mate, segueing from those pieces, so folks, go and check that out on realnewsaustralia.com. But make sure you then, of course, click on the link and jump over to TOTT News. There's an instant link from my site to Ethan's. And Ethan's put up in quite a few articles recently. Always tapping away on the keyboard, doing very well. And his some of the things that's come out just recently is an article he's put up called "The End of Natural Medicine in Australia." Ethan, I'll let you take the reins on this one, mate. What's this one going on about?
Yeah, thanks, General. And this definitely ties into exactly what we were just talking about, this structure that has been established through this medical system that's based upon, you know, science and all of this, you know, pseudo-religious talk that has been established to try and convince people, you know, that this type of stuff is safe. And if you need any more clear evidence that the Australian government isn't in bed with this big pharma alliance that we're talking about, you know, check out this article at tottnews.com, because I wrote an article and, yeah, I called it "The End of Natural Medicine in Australia," because it's been revealed the Australian government has passed health insurance reform laws. And what they do is they end public and private health cover for a wide range of natural therapies. So this includes herbalism, yoga, you know, naturopathy, Bowen therapy, Alexander technique, you know, yoga, all of these type of things are not going to be, from April 1st to 29, they're not going to be subsidized anymore, and health insurers will no longer be able to provide cover for, quote, non-permitted therapies. And I thought that was interesting terming their non-permitted therapies according to this structure. But, you know, what we've seen previously, you know, if you get private health insurance, you know, if it's good for you to take up yoga, or if you want to do herbalism, or all of these type of routes, you know, these type of businesses that provide these services, so say a yoga teacher, they're able to get subsidies from the government, and your payment is also subsidized through your health insurance scheme. So
yeah,
instead of paying,
pay the gap. Yeah,
yeah. So you pay the gap in that type of thing. So what it's set up is, this has allowed a lot of people that don't want to go with the big pharma type of route, an alternative route, to still be able to afford these programs under these subsidized benefits. Now, these moves began in 2015, and what happened in 2015 is the government actually produced a report, and I've linked to all this on tottnews.com for anyone who wants to check it out. And they concluded through their own report that 17 of these natural therapies hadn't been proven to work on patients, and that's a quote by them, you know. So it began then. Right. And now this policy was actually based on flawed reviews, as you can imagine, by the National Health and Medical Research Council, who is a government entity who is influencing, obviously, this tests and studies that are going on patients. And what the private health insurance amendment does is pass a follow-up to what the government released in 2017. So all of this testing had gone on. The National Health and Medical Research Council said, yep, that's absolutely spot on. In 2017, what happened was the health department released a report, and they concluded that the evidence of clinical efficiency, cost-effectiveness, safety, and quality of natural therapies have not been found to be underpinned by an evidence base, right? So just take a step back here, right? So I shared this article initially, right? And it, you know, it was a bit more popular than I was expecting, because there are so many yoga teachers, so many herbalists, so many people out there that have been doing this stuff for 40, 50, you know, 60 years, some of them, who are talking about how this stuff has been proven time and time again through thousands of studies all over the world to be effective. And the government is just concluding, based on our own studies, none of this has ever been proven to work, ever. And so, like, it sounds absolutely insane, but this is what's happening. So what they did last year on September 11th, General, was they passed a bill. So they passed three bills, right? And all it talks about all of these things. And what they've passed is 16 out of the 17 items, the recommended on this report to not work. So herbalism, yoga, all of this type of stuff will now be scrapped from government subsidies under health insurance policies. So this was the new news that come out. And when I shared the article, boys, a lot of people weren't aware of this. You know, I became aware of it back when it was passing and whatnot, but I thought to myself, if I release an article now, by the time April comes next year, people might have forgot about it, you know, and won't be aware that these changes are coming. So I saved it until they actually released the date for it. But yeah, this has been going on for the better part of a year.
Yeah.
And it just ties into everything we're talking about, guys. This effort by the Australian government to centralize and control health. You know, we've seen the expansion of no jab, no play laws over in Western Australia, the controversial My Health Record system, which I published a new article on this week, with more data breaches, more security. You know, we've got the opt-out system for organ donation, which people didn't even know about. This whole notion, guys, that, you know, the Australian government not only can monitor and govern health, but they also control it. And now what they're doing is they're removing this. And why I called it the end of natural medicine in Australia is because I fear that a lot of people who could afford this, which would be the majority of the market through subsidies, you know, the ones that are not those type of dedicated people to health, are going to lose, you know, they're just going to cut this off of their health insurance. And this could really affect some of these businesses. It's almost like a soft kill, you know, sort of like the no jab laws are, where you get your financial penalties. You know, it's almost this coercive sort of way to just destroy anything that's not a part of this government medical alliance. So that's on my website there. You can see that there's comments from a whole bunch of people, you know, going in, like one person, the CEO of Private Healthcare Australia, talks about how under these subsidies, natural therapies only make up 1% of the entire subsidies payments. So he's talking about, why are you getting rid of this when it's only 1% of the total payment?
Small fraction.
Yeah, you're talking about, you know, doing this because it's such a big burden on the government and you just want to get rid of all this stuff, but it's only 1% of the total market of all benefits paid by health funds. So why are you just targeting this 1%? So yeah, that's all on tottnews.com there. I'll throw back to you, General, just to get your thoughts on this. Just the story in general, this legislation, and just how it ties into everything, you know, that we were talking about.
Well, isn't it funny that how once again it has, you know, bipartisan support to push this through, eh?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. You're supposed to have, you know, Liberal, Labor, or LNP, whatever, you know, one keeping the other one honest or whatnot. But nah, they're both in the exact same ballpark. You know what I mean? Like, it's two wings of the same bird. I keep saying it. You know, they're not out there to help and protect you. Yeah, they will. They are told to vote for these things, and they will vote for these things to push them through because they're told to do so. You know what I mean? There might be a couple that stand up and have a few balls, but in the end, if there's not enough of them, it doesn't matter. So, you know, they don't really care about those ones, but yeah, they won't be getting the lucrative jobs after they leave government. But all the other ones that do, that vote for these things, will probably go from a revolving door. They might just go straight into a job in one of the big major health funds because they've helped push this through. But it's funny, isn't it? It was such a small percentage, 1%, and yet they're pushing this through. I mean, is it going to make that much of a difference on the bottom line? You know, it doesn't. So obviously it's not about money in that regard. So what is it really about? And you're right, I think this is really about control, utter control of that health system. It's all must be allopathic, you know what I mean? It can be no homeopathic type remedies or any of that sort of stuff. It's all allopathic. Otherwise, it's just hoodoo. You know what I mean? What do you reckon, Andy?
Yep.
Sorry, mate, I'll just drop that.
You're right.
Mate, look, yeah.
What are your thoughts, mate?
Look, thanks, Ethan. That was really good. Look, you know what, Lee? 99% isn't 100%, you know? And if you're a megalomaniac, absolute out-of-control corporation, then, like, yeah, no. Nah, the only thing that is acceptable is 100%, mate. And to hell with the competition. If we can lobby government, a weak government, and get rid of all competition and have the whole medical industry for ourselves, yep, we're going to do it. No questions at all.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. 100% is 100%. It's just funny how that's right. I remember hearing about this a long time ago too, boys, that there's a guy I follow, Dr. Fido, I think. Andy, you might even know who he is on Facebook. I think we've met him. He might have been one of the guys that came to your place that time when we were doing the vax screenings. But anyway, what's his name? I can't remember the name he goes by. Is it Trent? No. Anyway, he does like that natural therapies and I think those sort of herbal things and all that. And he's been talking about this for a long time, saying that this is coming. You know, they're going to try and get rid of, you know, subsidizing and you won't be covered in your health, your private health and all that sort of stuff. You know, so... yeah, you're right, Ethan, and here it comes. Yeah, these people seem to have all the time in the world. You know, they have an agenda and they will push that agenda through. It doesn't matter, they might change the name of it, they might tweak it here and there, but that is on the cards, and if they want it through, they will get it through somehow.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. Just look at my health. Look at the My Health Record system. That was the e-health system that got crucified by the media and discontinued. Yeah, and then it just got rebranded and put back in, and now it's the best thing in the world.
It's funny you should say rebranded. What did you just post up not too long ago on your Facebook page? The WA government has rebranded the controversial Safe Schools program, which was axed by the federal government in 2017 and has made it available to all primary and secondary schools across Western Australia. Yeah, and that's an article out of the mainstream media. Yeah, so once again, just rebrand it and push it through.
Rebrand it, rename it, and the people, you know, they just don't care, you know. Yeah. And this is exactly how it's gone. You know, there's been a big attack on natural medicine for years and years and years, but this is the first time we've actually seen legislation, and they're going to force private insurers to do this. Now they can still keep it on there. It's classified as like an incentive or a bonus or something there, but it doesn't take into account the same thing. So the one person shared an article, shared a comment on TOTTnews.com. He was talking about how some of the tablets, the natural tablets he gets from, you know, either the pharmacy or some sort of independent group that he knows through this scheme, you know, it's going to jack him up about $50 a box, not being under... this scheme. So that's just one example right there of how much it's going to jump up. And you know, for those who are unfamiliar with how the system works, especially for some of our international listeners, when the pharmaceutical benefits scheme, that whole notion of drugs are super expensive until we can make them affordable for you, this is the type of model that natural health was under, and it made it affordable for people. So what people are stressing in this, you know, and a lot of people will just go and buy it outright and continue to, you know, be natural and be healthy and all of that type of stuff, and I salute them, good on to them, you know what I mean? But the fear is that businesses that run this type of stuff are going to be hurt, that the majority of their actual share market might be hurt by this because they can't afford that anymore in their budgets, especially with how bad Australia is getting as an economy, you know, wage growth's not growing, all of that type of stuff. So lots of concerns coming from this article. So I thought I would share that. So for anyone out there that wasn't aware of this, definitely hop on the website and have a look. And if you do have private health insurance, or if you go through a public insurance scheme, you know, for natural remedies or through a hospital or whatnot, definitely have a look at your cover and whatnot, and see how it's going to affect you from April 1st.
Well, there you go, folks. That's one of Ethan's latest up on TOTT News. Once again, go and check it out, TOTTnews.com. There's a whole bunch of great stuff on there. Once again, a few newies up on there, and plenty of old stuff to go through. Oh, that's what I was going to do. Just remembered it, boys. Oh, don't you love it how things just come to you like a freaking lightning bolt to the brain? The thing I was going to do as a segment, and I'll float this out there now, boys, is we might do like a blast from the past. So during the month that we're doing the recording, like now, we can go back through, you know, a few of the years on our website and see what we'd published way back then and see what was current back then and what we were talking about. And we'll just do a bit of a flashback, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I like that.
Just to see what was happening during the time, and you can get a feel for where things have come since then, because sometimes we don't revisit a lot of stuff we've published, many, many years ago. So it might be interesting to do that and just see what we were talking about, what was relevant back then, and maybe it's relevant again now, and we can sort of see where we've come, you know what I mean? So I think there's you've got plenty of stuff. So I've got heaps on there too that we've been publishing back in the day, since, 2012, and you're around the same time frame too, I'm pretty sure. So that might be good. We might tee that up in future eps as well.
That sounds great. I'd love to do that now. Back and have a look. I like to go back and listen to my old ARP sort of podcast, and it's just profound how you almost see like a loop. Almost on loop. You see a terrorist attack happen, and the laws come in, or whether it's vaccines or whether it's all this type of stuff, you just see a pattern with government behavior, with how society's going, with how people react to things. It's almost on loop. Looking through the websites.
Fuck it, let's do it now. Andy, give me a year between 2012 and 2018. Give me a year.
2013.
Okay, Ethan, give me a month of the year. We'll do this month. Let's just do January 2013 then. Here we go. January 2013. What the fuck was I talking about? First one that comes up, January 19th, giant gaping hole in Sandy Hook reporting. There you go. Talking about Sandy Hook way back then. And another one I did during that month, Sandy Hook shooting still doesn't add up. So I did two on Sandy Hook way back then. And another one I did, I think it was a reblog. Yeah, it is. It's just a link to another one. Australia's Top Secret Sites. I published this one. This one was actually from news.com.au. Ooh, how was I republishing something from news.com.au? Oh, my God.
I love it.
And funnily enough, they've actually removed that. Wow, they've removed the article. It's no longer on their site. How funny is that?
That's why you did it. That it's your article now, General.
Well, there's nothing to it. There is no article. It was simply a blog, and I didn't actually copy and paste anything.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah,
but how funny is that? The article's title was called Australia's Top Secret Sites, and it's been removed. Wow, there you go. They want to retain the secrecy.
We'll have to make another piece on that, eh?
Funnily enough, mate, go back on yours. All right, let's do January. Let me do Andy, do another year, mate, for Ethan this time. Pick a year.
2015.
Okay, so do January 2015, man. See what you had on there.
Oh, I know exactly what I would have had on there at that time, General. That January 2015 was the Sydney siege, my friend.
Ah, there you go.
All of our coverage of that right at the end of the year there, after the 2014 G20 coverage, we come into the whole Manharam Monis Sydney siege coverage that I had there. So I've got an article on TOTTnews.com talking about the Sydney siege false flag that we had up there. And I'll just see, it is bang on. The 10th of January 2015 is my article, Australia and the Sydney Siege False Flag. And it pretty much has all of the weeks that we spoke about. So we covered this for a number of weeks on the Australian Roundtable podcast. We've got a video there that we made where we're making fun of the media, where they're talking about different stories. I've got a meme on there. And then I've got my feature piece from the YouTube channel, which is talking about the sniper narrative, that whole, we couldn't take the shot, that type of thing.
Yep.
And yeah, wow, it's
there you go. Blast, it's been a while from the past, since we
went back and covered that. But yeah, January 2015, I when Andy said that, I had a spark in my brain. I knew that that time period was very important.
Yeah, you guys were fucking all over that shit during that one. Tottenham was a place to go, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely proud of that. We were one of the only, news type of platforms in the world that actually extensively broke that down at the time. We've seen a lot of other people come out, the Citizen Electoral Commission or whatever that party is. Yeah, they've done some good work on it and everything, but when we come out, this was as it was happening, you know what I mean? We've got John Le Bon still has, 15 hours of live recorded Channel 7 coverage that they were just recording that whole night while the siege was happening.
Yep.
We just pressed record, and the next day we just went through it and picked it all apart, just every single day. And it's all on that article right now on my website. And funny enough how that just synced up just like that, hey? January 10th, 2015.
There you go.
What a time, eh? I can't believe it's been 4 years since that. Tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go. 4 years tomorrow. Fucking hell.
Wow. Isn't
that crazy how time goes, boys, hey?
Man, so much of my life typing away on this website, General.
All right. Andy, have you got anything else you want to bring up?
I think we've pretty well covered a lot tonight, boys. Yeah, been good.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. Ethan, yourself, mate, anything else you want to bring up before we sign off for this evening?
No, I just want to go back to the first discussion that we were having about, obviously, the St. Kilda protests. Yep. and that underlying point that we were trying to express there. You know, it is time for people, and I've seen this a lot over the years, people either parrot information that they've heard from authority or what they consider authority, whether it be their favorite alternative media outlet or whatnot, or they appeal to consensus, whether it's the consensus of their own group or consensus of society, if they're a lemming, you know, all of this type of stuff. And I just wanted to stress in the closing statements, you know, it is good to take a step back. One of the things I've been trying to do is just try and break my sort of beliefs of things and look at the story openly, look at things balanced, take a step back and form my own opinions on these type of events, you know. So yeah, regardless of what you think about St. Kilda and all of that type of stuff that happens, I would just encourage people, when you do see stuff like this happen in Australian society, just take a step back, openly, objectively, get rid of your bias and take a look at all of the facts and build your own narrative. And that's what I wanted to just encourage everyone to do, because I really love that we touched on that earlier, and I love to finish with that because it is important.
Yep.
Because this is how we've ended up in this situation. Too many people, whether it's on our side or, you know, the mainstream side, have just been repeating information, appealing to consensus, and it's time for us to think as individuals and to, you know, have discussions like this. And I know our audience is sensible and probably already does that, but just wanted to encourage everyone again. And it's good to be back on the airwaves for 2019, boys.
Awesome. Thanks, man. You're absolutely right. It's really hard to remove emotion from it, but you kind of have to. You just got to try and concentrate on the facts and ask more questions and look for the answers for those questions. And yeah, putting emotion aside is very difficult because we are emotional beings and we get swept up very easily and stuff. But yeah, you're right. Really got to be vigilant. Take emotion out of it, because I mean, if you don't, then you're just going to fall victim to the Hegelian dialectic, and it's been used by people many, many times throughout history to control and persuade public perception, public opinion. I mean, look at Edward Bernays, for example, master of propaganda. He knew that we were emotional beings, and he targeted that, and that's how he was able to people using him to control us. So
absolutely,
yeah. So
the old game continues on.
Yeah, remember that, folks. It's a very important thing to do. Andy, thanks again for joining us. Great to have you back in the country and back on the podcast, mate. And again, boys, looking forward to next Monday night. Everyone, stay tuned for that one. It's going to be a cool podcast there. We're going to have Andy, Ethan, myself, Alona, and my friend Joel, who's going to jump in, expectant father, and him and his wife are going to have a little one in April. And there's a big debate. To vax or not to vax. So we're going to go through those ones. And yeah, we'll get a bit of information there and have Alona on. She's an awesome chick. Shout out to her. So make sure you follow Alona and her parenting network on Facebook as well. Boys, thanks again for joining us. We're going to sign off now. This has been the General Knowledge Podcast, episode 8. You